everyone. Welcome to another episode of Strong in the Saddle. I'm your host, Katrina. And today we are talking about, I guess I'm going to call it like a cautionary tale for people who ride horses, people who live and work on a ranch, cowgirls, equestrians, whatever you want to call yourself. It's a cautionary tale for you about fat loss. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you you can never implement a fat loss. I think that's unrealistic. But the point of this episode is to just put up a few, like, hey, you need to be mindful of this in order to have a successful fat loss. Because there's a smart way to go about it when you're as active as some of us who ride horses and whatnot are. And there's a stupid way to go about it, to put it bluntly. So I'm just going to go through a few things that you need to consider and just, yeah, watch out for if you are contemplating implementing a fat loss phase. And I guess maybe just to illustrate this, I'll use myself as an example. So for nearly 10 years, I struggled with anorexia. I had an eating disorder, and anorexia is kind of characterized by, just in the most simplest terms, just not eating enough and becoming unhealthily underweight due to not eating enough over usually an extended period of time. For me, it was close to a 10-year battle. And anorexia, I guess you could say, is a very extended and messed up fat loss phase. Like, that's very much understated for describing what an eating disorder is. But for our purposes today, we'll just go with that. And so during my eating disorder, I experienced several negative consequences because of that. One was energy. How I set up my days was I would wake up very early, which is very typical of someone with an eating disorder. I would work out and ride back to back first thing in the morning. And then the rest of the day, I was exhausted. During much of my eating disorder, I was in school. I was in university getting my business degree. And there were definitely a lot. I did it all online before going to school online was cool. And there was definitely times where I would literally fall asleep on my textbooks or on my laptop because I was just exhausted. And after I got out of school, I got a job, and then I had to change my schedule a bit. I still worked out in the morning, but my riding got pushed till the evening when I got home from work. And I remember some days coming home and just being like, I have no idea how I'm going to get through this ride. And I remember one specific time, I was still living at home. I was standing outside of our shop. I had my halter in hand. I was going to go catch Junior to ride. And I told my dad, I was like, I am so tired. Like, I'm so tired. And he's like, you don't have to ride, which that had never occurred to me. Like, I had to ride, but I was just, yeah, completely exhausted. So that was one thing. Another thing that I noticed was, despite how consistent I was with my workouts, I worked out 6 days a week religiously, I was not getting stronger. Like, I was doing like not a bad workout program, which I could have gotten stronger following that program, but I ended up using the same amount of weights, doing the same amount of reps for months and months, years on end, probably by the end of it. And now, like so many years later, I'm still suffering the consequences of that because I feel like I did lose so much muscle that now, like, I put myself in such a deficit to have to crawl out of, and I'm still trying to fix that. So yeah, not being able to get strong and actually getting weaker was another big thing that I noticed. And then overall, the other thing that I noticed which is definitely a huge component of an eating disorder, is just the mental side of things. Anorexia is definitely a mental game. I don't want to call it a game, but for lack of a better word. And part of that is just like when you're not taking in enough food, like, your brain runs on calories. And if you're not taking in calories, your brain is not going to function properly. And when your brain's not functioning properly, it can go really strange, dark places that are not fun. And I definitely dealt with that. Like, I was super irritable. I had terrible mood swings. I was snappy. Not in a good place mentally. And obviously an eating disorder is an extreme situation, but it does provide, like I said, an extreme example of a fat loss phase gone wrong. And as people who are active with horses and living on a ranch and all that sort of a thing, I want you guys to be aware of, again, I'm not going to say you shouldn't do a fat loss phase, but just be aware of what can happen if you don't approach it properly, which I may or may not get into, like how to set up a fat loss phase properly in this episode. It's just kind of like the, hey, things to be aware of. So first we'll start with the whole energy piece. So riding and caring for horses, taking care of a ranch, living on a ranch, all of that requires a significant amount of energy, despite what people say about, you know, horses doing all the work and all that garbage. Restricting calories during a fat loss phase can lead to decreased energy levels, and that can potentially impact what you are able to do as an athlete, as someone who lives on a ranch. So maintaining adequate energy is crucial to perform at your best. And this is one of the things, it's kind of hard to avoid. So calories are energy, and you need energy to be able to do things. But in a fat loss phase, one of the things you do is restrict calories so that you're able to lose weight, you're able to lose fat. So at a certain point, this you have to restrict, right? But there's a conservative way to do it that is going to minimize your energy deficit. So I think a lot of people, the big mistake they make is they immediately slash their calories by a lot. Like they might be eating, say, 2,000 calories a day and then slash them to 1,200 calories. That is a huge, huge cut and a huge percentage of your overall calories for the day, and therefore your energy that you're going to have available. A better way to approach it is to start slow and just maintain a steady pace. So cut a little bit, see how things go. Once you plateau, you might cut a bit more. And taking a more moderate approach as opposed to like a really, really drastic cut where your energy is going to absolutely tank. So that's one thing to keep in mind. Like I said, it's, yes, you are going to have lower energy when you're eating fewer calories. Like that's just how science works. Energy in equals energy out type of a thing. You can't, like, there's no getting around that. So there are ways to help with that. Like I said, taking a moderate cut as opposed to a really drastic one. And then also smartly using things like caffeine. And then also just making sure that you're getting adequate rest during your fat loss phase and throughout any other point in your life. Like, prioritizing sleep should be first and foremost above everything else. So yeah, doing a combination of that will help minimize any like decreased energy that you might notice. The second thing that I mentioned was muscle loss. Rapid weight loss, especially without like proper nutrition and exercise behind it can result in, yes, losing fat, but also losing muscle mass. And losing muscle mass can negatively affect your strength and your stability, which obviously would impact your riding, as well as like anything you do around the ranch. So like moving hay bales becomes significantly harder. You require a strong, just all over body. Like for those of you who ride, obviously strong legs, a strong core, but also a strong upper body. It's all crucial. And the last thing we want to do is start losing muscle mass, because one, it's super hard to put on that muscle in the first place. And two, like someone who's weak and trying to deal with horses or work on a ranch is not great. It's terrible. So again, when you're in a fat loss phase, it's almost inevitable that you will lose a bit of muscle mass. It's just part of how the body works. But the key piece here is proper nutrition and exercise. So to minimize how much muscle you're losing during a fat loss phase, you want to, on the nutrition side, definitely make sure you're getting in enough protein, because protein, as we all know from what grade 10 biology, is the building block of muscle. So making sure you're getting adequate protein. I usually recommend aiming for 1 gram of protein per pound of ideal body weight. So if you weigh, 150 pounds and you're happy at that weight, aim for 150 grams of protein. I know that's really hard for some people. I think people tend to undereat on protein, but at least trying to strive for that, that will help reduce how much muscle you're going to lose during a fat loss phase. And then on the exercise side of things, I think when people jump into losing weight, they default to cardio. So they might run, they might cycle, those sorts of things. I would instead of focusing on cardio, focus still on strength training. Strength training is going to allow you to, at the very least, help to maintain the muscle that you have while you're in your fat loss phase. And you might not burn as many calories during the strength training exercise session itself as if compared to like if you did a run, but there is that afterburn effect that comes from doing strength training and keeping that muscle mass on. So yeah, a combination of proper nutrition and exercise, along with, I would say, going back to the first one, not doing a huge cut. If you're doing a really aggressive cut, I believe, and I don't have any studies to back this up, I believe the amount of muscle that you would lose in a more aggressive cut is higher. So that's that. Another thing to consider during a fat loss phase is injury. So when you have a significant caloric restriction combined with, say, intense riding or barn work, work on the ranch, that can increase your risk of injury. And it's kind of due to, going back to energy, you're fatigued. And if you're fatigued, you might not be moving as correctly, which makes you more susceptible to injury. If you're losing muscle mass because you're not approaching this fat loss phase properly, that makes you weaker and, again, more prone to injury. Or you might just not be recovering adequately, maybe just because you're not approaching it correctly, or, again, you're just not eating enough because you did a really significant cut and you're just not able to recover. Again, makes you susceptible to injury. And the last thing that we want is to get hurt, right? Because that just puts us even further behind the eight ball. So that's definitely something to consider, is injury. And again, if you're setting up your fat loss phase properly, your risk of injury is going to go down. When I was in my eating disorder phase, whatever we want to call it, I didn't have any huge injuries. One thing that I did have, though, and it's definitely due to being just weak overall, is lower back issues. Anytime I did deadlifts, I would basically tweak my back and it would hurt so bad. And if I had just focused on getting stronger, that would have been a non-issue. Like now, I haven't had a lower back tweak. Well, aside from when we moved and I had to lift a welder into a dump trailer, that tweaked my back. But even that wasn't that bad. Like I recovered within 2 days. So being stronger helps reduce injury. A fat loss phase isn't going to help with the risk of injury. But again, if you're setting it up properly, you can reduce that risk. Another thing to be cautious about when you're in a fat loss phase is nutritional needs. So an active individual, you have very high nutritional needs. And that includes, again, getting adequate protein, but it also relates to those micronutrients like your minerals, vitamins, all those sorts of a thing. When you're in a fat loss phase, you're cutting calories, which means you're eating less, which means you may not be completely rounding out what your body needs. So again, setting it up properly, doing your nutrition in a smart, educated way will help with this. We don't want to just cut everything and just solely focus on calories. We also need to consider, am I getting enough nutrients? And I think some people might default to being like, well, I take a multivitamin and I drink a greens powder, so I'm fine. But I would really encourage you, even if your calories are lower, to really, really try to get your nutritional needs met through actual foods. So making sure you're getting in good quality protein from ideally meat, dairy sources, and then getting a wide variety of micronutrients by eating like a wide variety of fruits and vegetables, which I actually think might be easier when you're on a cut or a fat loss phase, because vegetables are low in calories. So like you could make a massive salad that's going to fill your tummy up and you can get all sorts of micronutrients in there. So definitely consider that. I would rather you not default to things like eating rice cakes, which are basically like eating cardboard. They're completely devoid of nutrients. So still being mindful of nutrients and not just taking a tunnel vision view of just focusing on how many calories you're eating every day. Another thing that I want you guys to consider is sustainability. So again, going back to slashing your calories and creating a huge deficit, that's really, really hard to stick to. And if you're someone who's wanting to lose weight and keep it off for the long term, I would rather you do your fat loss phase a little bit slower in the name of sustainability. It's going to be a lot easier to go the conservative approach and develop habits that you can maintain in your day-to-day life over the long term. Slashing your calories by 500, 800, 1,000 calories every single day and eating foods that you don't like because they're low calorie and all those sorts of things, like none of that is sustainable. And so I'd really like you to focus on, what can I do for the long term? What is a deficit? Like, regardless of how big your deficit is, it's going to be uncomfortable to a certain degree. But obviously, a 300 calorie deficit is going to be a lot easier than an 800 calorie deficit. Focusing on what foods support my goals that I also enjoy. So if you don't like eating kale, don't eat kale. Like that is a perfect example for me. I do not like kale at all, so I don't eat it. I would rather eat romaine or something like that. And yeah, that's just focusing on what you can sustain and what you could see yourself doing like every single day or every single week. for the long haul. And having that sort of an approach is a lot more, it's going to allow you to maintain your results a lot longer than a crash diet would. The last piece that I wanted to touch on is that whole mental side of things. So as I said, eating disorder is the extreme of mental disorder, right? But extreme dieting and caloric restriction can all lead to the same things. Mood swings, irritability, just all those negative mental well-being things. It can still happen, again, if you're slashing your calories way too much. Being in a positive mental state is really important, especially if you're dealing with horses. A few weeks ago, we were in the process of moving, and I was just mentally fried. I was so stressed, and this was the first time that that's happened since I've owned Diesel, and he completely picked up on it. He was so sassy to me when I was riding, and I couldn't figure it out. And then we moved, we got settled, and it all went away. And now our rides have been fantastic. And it just goes to show how much horses can pick up on. I honestly have no idea how Junior put up with me for basically a decade being on his back in a completely messed up state of mind. I have no idea. Like, Junior is truly an angel if he was able to handle that. Like, I'm sure he's gonna have, I don't know, like, yeah, just God bless Junior for tolerating me during those years. But yeah, having a mental state, a positive mental state, is so important, again, for being around horses, but also just like living your life, enjoying your time on the ranch, enjoying your time with your horses, fostering good relationships. If a fat loss phase is going to interfere with that, I personally don't think it's worth it. So anytime that I advise a fat loss phase, one of the goals I want people to set is that I don't want the people around you to know that you're in a fat loss phase. If they know that you're in a fat loss phase because you're snappy and irritable and just miserable, something needs to be fixed. Again, like, it, there's definitely like a biological response to being in a restricted state. But if you're doing a fat loss phase a bit more conservatively, you can definitely minimize those negative mental effects. And that is kind of the goal. I don't want people to know that you're in a fat loss phase because you're grumpy, because you're hangry, right? Oh, hangry. Yeah. It's not worth it to be completely terrible to be around just because you want to lose 5 pounds. And I feel like out of all of this, that is a huge, huge, huge piece. I spent so much time during my eating disorder just being absolutely miserable. And for what, right? Like, I was skinny, sure, but I was not happy. And if that's the cost of being skinny, then it's not worth it. So, kind of a philosophical way of thinking about things, but it's just me kind of wanting to say that instead of focusing solely on the number on the scale, how many calories you're eating, what you look like, I really encourage you guys to prioritize a balanced approach with your nutrition, with your fitness. Take on a well-rounded training program that would include predominantly strength training, but also if you want some cardiovascular work, some flexibility work, and that's going to help support your overall health, which should be first and foremost, and then without compromising like your performance in the saddle, your performance in the arena, what you're able to get done on the ranch, all those things. I would say if you can, and I know it's not always feasible for some people, I would recommend working with someone who has knowledge in this field, a nutritional or fitness professional who understands the demands of someone who works with horses, someone who lives, works on a ranch, so that they can tailor a plan specifically to you to meet your needs and to meet your goals and to do it all in a sustainable way, which I will say I am opening up for one-on-one coaching. So if you are interested in that, please DM me on Instagram. I would love to help you with that because I could talk about this stuff all day. I love these sorts of things, and I know that that's not the case for everyone. So if I can take that off your plate, get it off your mind, and help you get results at the same time, I would love to help you out with that. So again, please be sure to reach out to me at Strong in the Saddle on Instagram, and I will get back to you as soon as I can. And yeah, follow me everywhere at Strong in the Saddle, my podcast, Instagram, and I'm on YouTube with nearly daily vlogs, which is what I've been aiming for. And until next time, remember, it's always a good day to ride.